Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
This episode is brought to you by HelloFresh.
Well, HelloFresh.
All right, new theme song. You ready?
There's a new theme song.
I've got it.
You made it.
Yeah. Ready?
All right.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they are like, it's better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I could teach you, but I'd have to charge. New theme song. What do you think?
Incredible. I love it.
So, look, we want something less risque, a bit more family-friendly.
Yeah, for sure.
Something that we're singing. Got milkshakes. Everyone loves milkshakes.
Yards. Hanging out in a yard.
These are all good things. That's the new theme song now.
Why have you chosen to do this today of all days?
Because it's hot, Mason.
You're losing your mind. We're doing this a little. Have you put the actual theme in, or is that what it is?
Who knows?
Okay, great. We're doing this a little early.
Yeah, we are. We're doing this on Thursday our time because I'll be away for the weekend. By the time you hear this, I'll be back.
We're not going to reveal where you're going specifically, but let us, little hint, there's a lot of sheep shagging going on there.
You know there is, mate. That's right, that weird small town, your rival, that's where I'm going.
That's right.
Wherever you're from, the listener. Anyways, big news this week, Mason. You been on anything? I don't know. I feel like I just saw you. We just did this.
I have not been on anything.
Good. Well, if you have, hit me up in the comments.
Oh, yeah, cool. I'll hit you up in the comments, yeah.
And then we'll know.
Yeah.
Okay, so look, we definitely would have missed some stuff because there is a bit of a gap between now and
there's no big events. There's
Monday.
No big Comic-Cons, though.
No, but there is still a lot of big news that has already happened this week. For example, HBO have cancelled a Game of Thrones prequel series about the Long Night, which, as you know, is when spooky nighttime happens. And then
spooky night
dragons and spiders and stuff.
I'm
come
not
out
aware
or
of this. So is this because I am aware that there was going to be a bunch of spin-offs.
Yes.
And a bunch of prequels slash
sequels. I've got some news for you.
Was there gonna be one set 1,000 years before the events? Or
okay,
is that one still on?
Essentially this is the one that was the Long Night
This is the one that had Naomi Watts
yes,
in it.
Yes. They filmed a pilot. It also had Naomi Ackie, who's in the new Star Wars, I believe.
Huh.
She's the one who's riding the horses. She's like, haha.
And Naomi Klein.
That's right.
Author of No Logo.
These are all things. It's a Naomi only cast.
That's right. That's in the series Bible. It says Naomi only.
Yeah, so the Long Night is when the winter was for like 1,000 years or whatever. And people are like, it's so cold.
Oh my God.
And it's like,
bloody, I'd take a bloody 1,000-year winter right now.
You know it,
quite
mate.
Warm.
It's quite
in
warm.
Melbourne.
But that was, I think it's all, you know, when they were talking about, I don't know if you remember Game of Thrones, the series.
I mean, vaguely, sure.
Yeah, they would like, hang on. Yeah?
Can you give me some different pants?
All right, I'll get you some different pants. Everybody, I'll be right back. I've got to get some different pants. He's not happy with the pants he's currently wearing.
This is wild. Just to be clear, is this some sort of attempt to get some sort of viral meme going again, a la Big Sandwich? Because it seems that way. You're like,
I didn't word him up.
You're like, my son, do some riffing out there. And he's come up with different pants. Come on.
I don't know what to tell you. He's a meme machine.
Yeah.
I'm back. I changed
We're
my
all
shorts.
Back.
Oh, my goodness.
We're all in.
His pants were fine, but it was one of these, having like a 3 or 4 year old, whatever, they're very much like, this is the particular thing that I want.
It's all right. We all took the opportunity to put on different pants. Hashtag different pants, everyone. We're going to make this viral if it kills every single one of us.
We want to see 1,000 memes. We want to see the feed and the Planet Broadcasting great mates choked up. We want to drive the admins insane.
We want memes about different pants. We want people angry about there's too many memes about different pants.
We want a resurgence.
Exactly. We want a backlash to the resurgence. We want people going, when are different pants going to die already?
So basically, this pilot, which they shot,
yes,
is no longer happening. But okay. At the same time, they greenlit the other prequel Game of Thrones series, House of Dragons, which is set 300 years prior, which is about the rise of House Targaryen.
Wait, 300 years prior to the one that's pre? Yes. That? Okay, so this...
No,
so
this current one.
Okay,
so
right.
It's like about all the different dragons and how many dragons are going to come in and be right. Like, we're dragons.
I understand.
I assume. I don't know. So I guess that means, I don't know whether that means it's their arrival or it's like, well, I can't remember. I've forgotten all my Game of Thrones knowledge. I don't know where in the time, I don't know whether that means.
Why
the
do
first,
you think that's happened?
Because I don't care anymore, Mason.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah, because remember from the Game of Thrones story, they come over with dragons and they conquer the kingdom. But I think it was further than 300 years back, or it's not. Again, I don't know. But it's interesting that they cancelled that other one after one episode.
Yes.
But this new one, they haven't filmed anything and they've greenlit the entire series.
It is interesting.
So it must have been something they really did not like. But do people just want to see dragons, though? They're like, we'll do the dragon
I think
so. One.
I mean, if the choice is between dragons and no dragons.
Yeah.
I think people are going to go with dragons, right?
Exactly.
What all the dragons in Game of Thrones?
Basically, they kind of bred them down like dogs and kept them indoors.
They got like boutique dragons.
Yeah,
they're
exactly.
They're all just wheezing and they're dragging their bodies along the
pretty
ground.
Pretty much,
short
yeah.
little legs.
They were like as small as like dogs and stuff, and but no good. So they kept them in cages and things
and
like that.
And then they all
yeah.
died.
I'm trying to find if I got any...
Well, that's grim.
The ruling of the Seven Kingdoms. I'm trying to work out where this bloody happened. But
that's a grim reflection on modern life.
It really is, Mason. Have you ever seen a sausage dog? Jesus. Yeah. I love them, but yeah, Jesus. So what is happening there? So anyway, I don't know when it is. Somebody will tell us.
Nice.
Anyways, that's what's happening with Game of Thrones. But you wish it was the only Game of Thrones news, Mason.
Oh, yes.
This is sort of related. HBO Max is launching. Did you see this? In
what's
2020. It's their streaming service.
Okay, you got enough
streaming services?
Yeah.
Well, do you want one more though? Is there always room for one more?
Oh yeah, there's always room for one more. Yeah,
good,
yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So this is going to be $14.99 a month. That's US.
That's a lot.
Mm, but if you look at the content, Mason.
Oh yeah.
It's 10,000.
And I'm always looking at content.
You know you are. It's 10,000.
Different pants.
I want to see Meso driving the tram, but the tram is in a different pair of pants.
Yep.
Sound good?
If a tram were wearing different pants, how would the tram
what
wear
What would that
pants?
Even look like?
Oh, my yeah. God. Anyway, you say.
They're talking about 10,000 hours of programming, and the reason they're doing this is because this has been a priority for Warner Media and its parent company, AT&T, since the telecom giant bought Time Warner last year.
Yeah,
or last Was that this year?
So,
I don't know.
So is
for
this
$85
because,
billion.
Is this because people are no longer signing up to HBO because it's kind of like
no yeah
yeah
because
you know because
yeah.
I mean why would you have HBO where you just watch the TV as it comes up
yeah.
and also HBO Max which I'm assuming for the price that you're paying has everything that is coming out on HBO plus an archive of
10,000 hours of things
10,000 hours of Sex and the City episodes
speaking
yes.
of this is what they've got you mentioned Sex and the City yes the Looney Tunes Hanna-Barbera get out of that weird alley, you dumb top cat. I hate your top cat.
Oh, my God. Scooby-Doo gang, where do you think the clue is? It's probably under that one rock that's a different color to all the other rocks because that's where the animation is.
You're gonna split up into two groups, Shaggy and Scooby. Maybe they'll come across the kitchen and but then a ghost will interrupt.
Yep.
I hate all the Hanna-Barbera stuff, Mason.
What about the modern day? What about your Harvey Birdman?
Yeah, I love Harvey Birdman. There's
wow,
definitely,
you've changed your tune very quickly, haven't
I'm
you?
I'm talking about like the 60s
yeah, no,
stuff.
I know.
You know what I'm talking about. Because there was a big difference between that and like the Looney Tunes. They're
yeah,
not,
for sure.
They're not the same. Mm. Cartoon Network, The West Wing, Rick and Morty, Friends, Big Bang, Sopranos, Big Little Lies, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Lord of the Rings, all the DC movies, every one of them, and Doom Patrol. I assume that this is the DC streaming service is done, right?
That was quick.
I mean, they haven't announced anything like that, but I'm assuming
right.
they're going
to fold. But why would Doom Patrol go to HBO Max if they're not canning?
Exactly.
Why would you be like, well, you can get DC Universe for Titans and old episodes of Arrow and Doom Patrol, or you can get Doom Patrol over on HBO Max. Well,
Speaking of though, because we're getting some more DC TV, they announced a Green Lantern TV show, huge budget.
Oh.
It's going to be Greg Berlanti. Who of course did Flash, Green Lantern, Supergirl, who is currently still is because involved with that. He was also a co-writer on the last Green Lantern movie. Make of that what you will. The last and only Green Lantern.
That's
no,
right.
There was that weird Justice League thing we did, but it wasn't a Green Lantern focused, was it? Is
that
the Guy Gardner one?
That was Guy Gardner, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's on Caravan of Garbage from like years back. It's terrible. You want to watch that. But yeah, what do you think about that? High budget Green Lantern TV. Will it be folded into the Jokerverse which is the new mainline universe.
Oh, do you think it will be?
No, not that one. I don't imagine.
Do you think it'll be just about a sad drunk man who pawns his grandmother's green ring?
But he gets it back and then he just punches people with it.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
It's got a big green gem in it. Yeah. Doesn't do anything. It's just a stone.
I mean, it knocks people's eyes out.
Yeah, sure, yeah. So, yeah, you happy with that? Green Lantern, big budget and TV series?
Are we talking a CW kind of show?
No, like big stuff. Big HBO money.
Oh, okay, right.
And it's going to be apparently space and whatever, which
sounds
is your
really good,
thing,
okay.
So you like all that?
All right. You know what? If they give us some sort of hanging out in a space bar situation, you know what? I want kind of like a, look, I want big explosive action with big green boxing gloves and et cetera.
Yes.
But I also want like a scene, like hard-boiled detective style, where he goes into a space bar and like Lobo's there maybe.
Yes.
You know, just a bunch of space miscreants.
Well, they did cancel that Lobo series, so who knows where he is. Yeah, that's right. Mm. Excellent. Okay, there you go. They're also doing Strange Adventures, which is an anthology series of cautionary tales set in a world where superpowers exist. Oh. So Black Mirror, but capes, I'd imagine, by the sounds of things.
What if capes, but too many capes?
Too many capes, stuck indoors too many times. Mm, yeah.
That's right.
And they're also doing...
what if a door got stuck in a cape, though?
Oh, my... What if you're wearing a door instead of a cape? Oh, what would that look like?
Oh, my God.
So they're also talking
about... superheroes, but different pants?
So they're also doing Strange Adventures. Sorry, I said that one. DC Superhero High, a new live-action comedy series from Charlie's Angels director Elizabeth Banks.
Okay.
So superheroes been in high school and they're like, the Joker, you're doing too many pranks.
Okay.
The ventriloquist, nobody wants to see your stupid fucking weird dummy you carry around with you, you weird creep.
Yeah, stay in the library, you creep. Get out of here. What do you think this is? Do you think this will be modern your Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, but they're in high school? Well, or do you think it'll be kids with superpowers in high school?
I didn't know, but then I realized I'd put the synopsis here so I can tell you. We'll both find out together.
This is incredible.
The half-hour show will focus on a group of teenagers attending a boarding school for gifted children. The young heroes and villains are just trying to navigate the pressures of high school, but none of them realize that someday they will become legendary DC superheroes.
Okay.
I guess it's an alternate reality where Wonder Woman and Superman...
Well, I like Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you looking forward to Charlie's Angels Full Throttle? Is that next week or is it Full Throttle? I don't know.
It's...
I like the cast.
It's Half Throttle.
Half Throttle.
It's a prequel.
Your foot's off the gas just a little bit.
Every scene is them about to do like some elaborate acrobatic flip and then somebody's like, all right, steady on.
Half Throttle,
mate. Yeah. Come on.
So I guess we'll do an episode on that. People have asked if we were going to do Charlie's Angels for the Caravan of Garbage, but we already did Pearl Harbor for Midway for some reason.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
That's next week.
We already sacrificed 3 hours of our lives
for Pearl Harbor. We're not happy about it, but we did it, all right?
All right. So this is going to be define some of DC's legendary heroes. Because if you ask them...
Exactly, we're talking like Booster Gold.
Exactly, if you ask
them...
I
love Booster Gold. But
yeah, Blue Beetle and Booster Gold are the legendary heroes. But when you think legendary DC heroes, it's Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman.
It's the Trinity, isn't it?
I mean, Batman would be at a boarding school.
He would.
But would Clark Kent be at a boarding school?
No, he'd be on a farm.
He'd be at a public school. Exactly. He'd be wearing the overalls with one strap coming off the side.
Maybe it's a situation.
It's got a pitchfork. It's on a hay bale.
Maybe
it's on a back of a pickup truck.
Maybe it's where they've all been discovered as their superpowers and they're put into a school. Maybe that's the universe.
So it's X-Men.
But exactly. X-Men. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why Batman's there, though.
Yeah, right.
They're like, he's pretty smart.
He's too violent. That's
why. Yeah, that's right. It's the only place where
basically, this is for people with superpowers and violent lunatics who have the equivalent of superpowers because of all the violence they've done.
That's right, yeah. Another interesting aspect of this is that the subscription service studio will provide 8 to 10 movies a year, which could ramp up over time. And that stuff seems like the DC movies might maybe worked into that.
Okay.
So they're going to be DC streaming movies.
So these are new movies.
Greenland, yeah.
Okay, so this is original movies.
Yes.
This is probably going to be some combo of live action animation, maybe?
Who knows? Yeah. I think it's probably,
More Sex and the City movies?
Hope not. Unless they do that one where Big dies, which was the plan for Sex and the City 3, in which case I'd be bang up for that.
Wow, is that really the
plan? Yeah, that was the plan.
Wow.
They're like, Big has a heart attack. And I'd be like, yeah, sucks good.
Yeah, right. Because then she's free and single again. Carrie's getting... And then it's just lost.
Hey, New York, what's a girl got to do to get her bloody husband buried around here?
Gonna have to sell some of my shoes to pay for the funeral.
It wouldn't surprise me if they did if they actually did Sex and the City 3 and you get a lot of people on board.
And then Samantha's like, give him one more just before they put him in the ground.
You can't say that, Samantha. You can't bloody say that. Mm. That's Charlotte or the other one.
Yeah, she's Charlotte, the other one, yeah.
Look, let's not pretend that I haven't seen every episode.
We've both seen every episode of Sex and the City.
So
your wife Claire was watching old Sex and the City like a couple of weeks back, yeah. And I just came over and I'm like, oh, it's the episode where it's the friend and she used to be wild in her younger years, but now it's a baby shower. It's the baby shower episode. Yeah. And she's like, yeah, it is.
You know what's up, yeah. The other thing is human curation will help customers cut through their options, so leading to a more personalized experience. And there's going to be a smaller category that also filters out the filler that nobody watches. So,
oh my god! So if you don't watch, oh, that's incredible. So if nobody watches something, it's gone.
Yeah,
it's like a library. If they don't check out a book, and nobody checks out a book in like 5 years, they burn them. Yeah.
Is that right. True? They throw them out if nobody checks it out.
I guess
because they're constantly getting new books, they'd have to.
Well, my mum used to be a librarian.
Yeah,
so I think, I mean, because they'd always. I mean, it might have been. I think it was a combination of like, you know, books that are too worn out and like that sort of stuff. But often they would do like. Every book's 50 cents or whatever, like, and they just put them out in the front and it, I guess it was just stuff that nobody wanted anymore.
Yeah, fair enough. Brutal.
Really makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then I would buy them all and burn them. Like, cop this, mum.
And then you'd be on the phone the entire time. It'd be real insult to injury, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You'd be like, this is new media! You'd shout into the sky.
I would shout that, exactly. Yeah,
very good. Anyway.
But that's great. That you know how these days we're inundated with, oh my God, save this show. We've got to save this show if it doesn't. Yeah. Now imagine that with everything on a streaming service. Every day there's tweets. There's, oh my God, guys, we've got to watch this show. We need a minimum 100 watches of this show a day. Otherwise, they're going to delete it. So please, we're going to save that episode of Sex and the City.
Just buy the DVD.
Where Charlotte won't do butt stuff. We got
to. And she's entitled to that.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's her priority.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this is.
Anyway,
this is if this comes here into Australia, I'll probably be getting this, I'd imagine. This is another thing that they've made it so like, well, I have to get this.
But I mean, we don't have HBO at all.
But I'm assuming that this is going to be a worldwide rollout, like Disney Plus. Yeah, surely they'd look at that model. The other thing is, I just want someone to circumvent fucking Foxtel.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying is because here, all that HBO stuff, well, a lot of it. I mean, Watchmen and Game of Thrones, they all go to Foxtel, which is our sort of cable, basic cable service, which is terrible.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if they're going to... And that's the thing. And we've never gotten HBO. But we also never got Hulu.
No.
We don't have Hulu. So I'm just wondering if they're like, well, Australia is uncharted territory. We can't
I think it's
there.
It's probably in a lot of countries. It's probably... I don't think they'd care about us specifically.
Yeah, right.
But if it worked like as...
No, I think the president of HBO is a vendetta.
No. He's pretty confident he doesn't know where we are. But... Yeah, I think if there was enough markets in the world to reach out to, then yeah.
Right.
I mean, surely also that would mean more money for them. I mean, I don't know how much money Foxtel forks over. It could be more than what they'd get in subscriptions.
It might be, yeah.
So that's
I
entirely,
hope so.
Yeah.
I hope their business model is falling apart.
Yes, me too. Mm. Well, all my friends who worked for Foxtel got fired and they moved it all overseas. So
what?
Yeah. They went to South Africa or something.
Shady.
Yeah, I know, right? So that's... where Foxtel's at. It's a dying, dying, dying industry. They've only got sport for now. Mm. So, and Watchmen somehow.
Got Watchmen. And Batwoman. They got, anyway, it doesn't matter.
I haven't seen it yet.
No, neither have I.
So, The Mandalorian got a trailer though.
Looks great.
It's about a minute and a half. He's pew-pewing stormtroopers, isn't he?
Oh my God, he's pew-pewing left and right.
Do you think he's pew-pewing too much?
No, I think he's pew-pewing the correct amount. Mm. That's what we want. We want a guy in Mandalorian armor pew-pewing about.
Yeah. They said...
It was what's Werner Herzog on about in this trailer? I can't remember.
Bounty hunters, they are like caves and trees.
Exactly.
Caves and trees. Yeah,
exactly. Every time I hear him speak, I'm like, do you know what you're doing currently or are you just talking off the cuff
about life? You're talking
about life?
His character from Shrimply Pibbles from Rick and Morty, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Who needed Jerry's penis for his new heart? yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't know whether he knows or cares, but he's a good addition to this universe, I feel.
It just blows my mind that he also acts.
Yeah.
At all.
In like what weird
other
stuff.
What other directors do that?
Jon Favreau?
Jon Favreau.
Steven Spielberg and Austin Powers 3.
Yep.
Those are all the examples.
Thank you.
Mm.
It's all I needed.
I think Chris Pine does some directing.
All right.
But I don't know that for a fact.
Sure, right. Uh-huh. Let's say Elizabeth Banks, I guess.
Yeah, there you go.
Acts and directs.
There we go.
There's a lot of examples.
Yes, one of the Chrises does some directing along with Elizabeth Banks.
But I wonder, James,
yeah,
when they act and also direct, do you think they wear different pants?
Different pants.
Different pants. It's
entirely possible, I guess. What would a director's pants look like? Would that be like a big pair of breeches with suspenders and a big megaphone? But it's one of the old school ones where it's not like electrified.
Oh, just paper just for some reason.
You just yell into a big cone.
You have to be within the cone to hear it. Yeah, that's what they have. They have breeches, jodhpurs sometimes probably, big riding boots for some reason. A crop for threatening actors that step out of line.
So, yeah, so the Mandalorian looks good. It's out on the 12th, I believe, and then it's the week later for here. But off the back of that in Star Wars news.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
D.B. Weiss and David Benioff. I've said it backwards. The GOT bros themselves.
Well, I think one of them would appreciate that.
No doubt.
Is it D.B. Weiss would appreciate coming first for a change.
There we go. They've left the new Star Wars trilogy or series that they were working on or writing or producing at any given time.
They were certainly getting a lot of money for it, one would assume.
It seemed to lessen because it was like series and it was like maybe a trilogy. And then it was like, I guess they're doing the first one, but maybe they're only writing the treatment. And now it's like, and they're gone.
And they're gone. Well, because they've got that 9-figure Netflix deal to get to.
Yeah, but I don't know. The timeline of this is strange. So basically, this was the statement from them and Star Wars.
Okay.
It starts with, we love Star Wars.
They love Game of Thrones too.
That's right. When George Lucas built it, so on and so forth, getting to work in the universe, et cetera, and so forth. You know, that paragraph.
Yeah. Although it wouldn't surprise me if they just put that out. Yeah. They were just like, and put in some stuff about how we liked it, et cetera, and so forth. And they were just like, yeah, close enough. What's anyone going to do?
And then from Kathleen Kennedy, president of Lucasfilm, she says, David Benioff and Dan Weiss are incredible storytellers. We hope to include them in our journey forward when they're able to step away from their busy schedule to focus on Star Wars. There are only so many hours in a day, and we felt we could not do justice to both Star Wars and our Netflix projects, so we are regretfully stepping away.
Do you think they got fired?
100%.
Interesting.
I think everybody involved in Star Wars movies who left has been fired to some extent.
Oh, okay.
Or there's been a creative differences, and then they're like, well, you're out because we're Lucasfilm and we don't give a shit.
Yeah, right.
So there was a rumor, this is from Joanna Robinson. She works for Variety, but she did it on a Patreon podcast, and she was like, it's just a rumor. It's not part of... it's not officially sourced or anything, but...
So it's definitely officially sourced and 100% true.
You know it. So I just want to add that caveat that they were fired in May in relation to the finale of Game of Thrones.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and it was not announced because that gave them options to...
They got Trevorrowed.
Yeah, exactly. That was not announced, so it gave them time to shop around elsewhere. So if they get fired from something, you got that stink on you, and then you got to go and try and get another deal. So the Netflix stuff maybe came afterwards.
Okay.
But my question is... what the fuck is going on at Lucasfilm?
Right?
Like, in all honesty, they've fired more directors than they've hired at this point. What? They make these big announcements.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, it's Josh Trank. It's Gareth Edwards, who technically didn't leave. It's Colin Trevorrow.
Mm.
It's the bloody Spider-Verse guys. What are they called for Solo?
Mr. and Mrs. Spider-Verse.
That's right, yeah. Mm. And now it's this.
Mm.
And maybe Rian Johnson, like, who's left? It's Rian Johnson, Kevin Feige's producing something, and J.J. Abrams, I guess for now, is still directing The Rise of Skywalker.
Sure, yep.
Even though it's entirely possible.
It might have been 5 months. I mean, based on this news you've given me, that the D brothers were fired in May, potentially, then maybe Rian Johnson's off and they just got, maybe they got Spielberg to finish it off, or Ron Howard or something.
Does it feel like they're just going for, like, a name? Because if you look at when these people are hired... Gareth Edwards was hired off the back of Godzilla.
Yep.
Josh Trank off the back of Chronicle when he was working on Fantastic Four.
Uh-huh.
Colin Trevorrow had done Jurassic World.
Yes.
And then they get them in and they're like, well, their vision doesn't line up with our vision. And then...
that's a good question.
Or something happens, like a controversy, and they're like, well, they're out now. They're not hot anymore.
Yeah, because so I guess from what I understand it, like, a lot of... How new directors are picked these days is they make a big splash with something.
They make Splash, the movie.
They make the movie Splash.
Mm.
And then... then they get pit, like they do an indie thing, like a cheap indie thing, and then they get hired because then the people that hire, like the big Marvel or Disney or whatever, can be like, well, we like him, but we can also push him around,
yeah,
kind of thing.
That's
and,
right, yeah.
And we get some heat and we get some kind of novel, you know, ideas for, like, you know, scenes and whatever, but all the action sequences, that's out of their control and whatever.
Yeah.
So... I don't know.
It's entirely possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't really know the inner workings of this. But and look, directors get hired and fired all the time. There's been 14 directors for that Flash movie that's probably not happening.
No, it's still happening. Hold out hope.
Okay. Great.
They've got to get to us eventually.
Yeah. Oh, man, there's a lot of people between us and them.
Well, they got time.
Anyways, that's true. What else are we doing? This is no effort.
Yeah, right?
Shh. We can bang it out 5 days before we need to put it out. It's fine. It's absolutely fine.
What if the Flash wore different pants? Would it be faster?
No. They'd tear off him.
They'd tear off him.
They'd tear off him. Unless they're made of spaceships or whatever they were made of in...
they were made of spaceships.
The Zack Snyder one.
What would... directors.
Yeah.
I had a thought.
Yeah.
Of directors. Oh, no. Well, my thought, I guess, is maybe at this point there's panic. In the Lucasfilm / Disney...
the ranks.
In the ranks, because, I mean, we're approaching the end of...
time.
We're approaching the end of time. There's almost no time left. But we're approaching the end of what is being, you know, as depicted as this 9-movie saga.
Yes.
Like, this is it for this saga, and now they have to start it all over again. And if what's going to happen is the people inside Lucasfilm, they'll be like... well, we just had a 9-movie saga.
Yeah.
So now we've got to build the next 9-movie saga the next 30 years or whatever it's going to be. Well, I mean, realistically, 9 movies. So the next 9 years, we need a 9-movie saga over the next 9 or 10 years that is equal to the saga we just got over the last 40 years or whatever.
But I think that's...
so who's going to do that?
Yeah, well,
let's find one guy who can do
it. And even though I would like Rian Johnson to do it, a lot of people... do not like him or The Last Jedi.
Yep.
But I also think even if you don't like The Last Jedi, I think a lot of people also see that if he's given just free rein on his own thing, then maybe people could come around on that. And I guess it depends on how Knives Out is received by the general public. Apparently it's very good.
People are really looking forward to seeing it.
But in all honesty, when these guys got left, fired, stepped away, creative differences, they've known George Lucas since they were kids, and the influence cannot be... et cetera, and so forth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not crushed about this, to be honest.
No, absolutely not.
I think
there's going to be a lot of people with mixed feelings out there because there's a lot of crossover between Game of Thrones fans and Star Wars fans.
And some hate Kathleen Kennedy and some hate D.B. Weiss and Dan the other guy.
Dan Bilzerian.
Yeah, Dan Bilzerian.
Yeah.
But also, it's like, well, who do you dislike more?
Oh, exactly.
That being said, like, those Game of Thrones guys, they nailed pretty much everything else about Game of Thrones.
Except for arguably two seasons. Yeah,
I guess. No, but so I think that it's kind of unfair to be like, well, they suck. Because you've got that Twitter thread. They appeared at a session at
the Austin Film Festival, and they answered questions. This is from someone with the Twitter handle @4aria.
Yeah.
So maybe not entirely unbiased.
Okay, sure.
But it answers a lot of questions about their process of the making of Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Someone asked, did they go online? And David said yes. Dan literally said, we were geographically challenged and the maps were helpful. So the people making maps on the internet about, like, okay, well, here's based on the geography in the show,
yeah,
here's how the place must be built. And they're like, okay, good, we'll take those.
But I think a lot of people who work on this kind of stuff would admit that.
Yeah, yeah.
You would Google it. I don't think that's a big deal.
Yeah, no. David was also saying they went to fan casting pages. That's how they found Jason Momoa.
Yep.
Dan is saying that writers and source material end up in divorce and that their divorce was amicable since they ran out of material.
Sure.
Well, that certainly happened. They were very nervous about the initial pitch because of how bad they wanted it. David is describing the pre-meeting with G.R.R. Martin, who was questioning their bona fides, and we didn't really have any. We had never done TV and we didn't have any. We don't know why he trusted us with his life's work.
Sure.
That's fun. Everything we could make a mistake in, we did. Script, casting, costume. They think HBO went forward with the pilot because they had a lot of foreign pre-sales on the series.
Yeah, that was famously redone.
Yeah.
The pilot, they reshot most of it. Yeah.
This is the most telling tweet, I think. 2 months before the pilot was to air, the episodes were averaging 39 minutes and HBO made them write and film 100 minutes of scenes to meet their contractual obligations. For example, they added a scene with Robert and Cersei and realized there was no scene with them. Dan is saying that he let the actors redefine the roles, especially Maisie.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see Maisie Williams' Hot Ones episode?
I did, quite recently.
And she was apparently saying that Arya Stark is left-handed in the books.
Yes.
And they were teaching her how to use swords and stuff with her right hand.
Mm.
And that she had to go, we are going to get...
Yeah.
The fans will riot if I don't do this correctly. So apparently that was a lot of that kind of stuff was happening.
All of these things, though, I think if they had have nailed the ending,
yeah,
I think people would be like, well, they didn't have any experience.
I agree,
And actors have a lot of input into characters all the time.
It would have been like, look at this collaborative process, look at this amazing thing we all put together. But you're right, I think they wrote all the episodes by themselves, except for their assistant wrote 4 episodes.
Yes.
Dan wanted to remove as many fantasy elements as possible. I think this is the one that upsets people the most.
Yeah.
Because we just didn't want to appeal to that type of fan. We wanted to expand the fan base to people beyond the fantasy fan base, to mothers, NFL players.
Yeah, I think that's not, but I think that's okay also because that's what got a lot of people in, and then they slowly did introduce the
that's
fantasy
true,
elements.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just the reality of that show where you're gonna have to hit upon that stuff eventually. They kind of snuck it in as kind of,
it's more historical than it is.
Yeah, or it's kind of like bloody, what's his name?
You're gonna get dads who love history and war.
Yeah, exactly. Know? And then they're like, dragons. I've already committed.
I'm 4-5 seasons in.
Yeah. Yeah, there's also pushback because David Benioff's father worked for Goldman Sachs. It was like a former head of. So people are like, well, he was already kind of like, you know, he had everything handed to him.
Oh, I see. Right. Gotcha.
But it also, like, yeah, that sucks. But that's also the reality of pretty much every high-paying, high-powered job ever, everywhere, all the time.
Yep. You get it if your dad had it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know where this is going or what's happening.
But again, I think you're right. I think if they had nailed the ending.
Mm.
But again, and I look, as someone who is a non-fan of the Game of Thrones series.
Yes.
And as I understand it, HBO was willing to give them enough time and money to just keep making Game of Thrones forever, essentially.
Yeah.
To finish it off correctly. And they went,
We want to do Star Wars.
So we can knock this out in 6. Why not?
And
then they didn't.
They didn't do Star Wars, yeah. And maybe the timeline of that doesn't line up at all. But it seems like it could very well.
Yeah.
So we'll just have to see.
Let's convict them in the court of public opinion.
Agreed.
Nice.
Oh, hello, Fresh. Good gravy.
Oh, HelloFresh.
And no doubt you could get some good gravy with HelloFresh, Mason, because they make cooking delicious meals at home a reality, not a fantasy.
What? Yeah.
Regardless of your comfort in the kitchen, they make it happen because they have step-by-step recipes to pre-measured ingredients, so you'll have everything you need to get a wow-worthy dinner at a table in just about 30 minutes. Any more, no good. Any less, I question your cooking abilities.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Just bung it in the microwave. That's not a meal. That's not a dinner.
I hardly think so. Now, there's something for everybody, from family recipes to calorie smart and vegetarian and fun menu series like Hall of Fame and Kraft Burgers. Your favorite, of course.
Don't presume. Maybe my favorite has changed in the intervening time between ads.
And?
No, it's still Kraft Burgers.
Okay, good.
Yeah, you got me.
You can also easily change the delivery days, food preferences, and skip a week whenever you need, so you're not locked in to any long-term contracts. I know, or anything like that. I mean, I've mentioned before, I've been using this on and off for quite a while. It's great if you're like, when am I going to cook that? You know what? I'll just order HelloFresh.
Open the box.
Exactly.
See what's in there. What's Tuesday?
If it turns up on your door when you're not there as well, they're all packed nicely and coolly, so you're not going to get hot, weird, spoiled food on your doorstep by the time you get home.
And if you get it nice and quickly and they're still cold,
that's right.
Put them in your pockets. Put them in your pockets. Put them all around.
It's bloody heating up in Australia, isn't it?
It's too hot.
Get some cold cutlets in your pockets if
you
want to
leave it.
They don't endorse that particular use, but we're saying you can do it if you want to.
Who's going
to
stop you?
That's right. They also, one I tried recently was the pork and poblano tacos. Am I saying that wrong? Who knows? With kiwi salsa and lime cream.
What's a poblano?
Poblano is a mild chili pepper, Mason.
Oh, my goodness.
You know that, don't you?
Oh, a little bit caliente.
You know it. Now, for a limited time only, you can actually get 9 free meals with HelloFresh. That's crazy.
That's so many free meals.
If you go to HelloFresh.com/weeklyplanet9, as in the number, and enter weeklyplanet9 at checkout, then you will get 9 free meals.
That's 9 dinners or 9 meals in one day.
Who's going to stop you? No one's going to stop you. So that's for a limited time. Get 9 free meals at HelloFresh.com/weeklyplanet9 and enter weeklyplanet9. That's below if you do want to check it out. You can, because it's good. And also look at the website, because there's a bunch of good food there. You go, oh my God, there's too many good
foods. There's so many varieties. Also, if you get this, and we would appreciate that, and you make the 9 meals and eat them all in one day, I want to hear about it.
Hit us up.
Tell us about it. Send photos.
I'm with the show?
Yes.
Terminator Dark Fate. We haven't got official box office numbers the world over yet, but it did open in the UK, Germany, Belgium, France, Switzerland, Austria, Sweden, Thailand, Singapore, and Malaysia over the previous weekend.
Oh, yes.
But the early box office estimate that it's made about 12.8 million worldwide.
Seems low.
That's very low and bad. So,
and that includes Belgium, who famously loved the Terminator.
Terminatings. So there you go. So let me just check the budget of this.
Can you check, what about Austria's box office?
Good question. 185 million. Woof. That's not good at all.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, maybe it'll have a stellar opening everywhere else in the world.
Yeah, right. So it hasn't opened in America.
Well, it has now.
Okay, right.
But by the time we're recording this, no.
It has not, yes.
Yeah, uh-huh. So... but it also in the UK charts, it fell behind Joker, Maleficent, Mistress of Evil, and The Addams Family over its opening weekend. So that's not good either.
Uh-huh.
I don't necessarily think it's because of this film, because I think it's fine.
I also agree, yes.
But, I mean, it might also be that, but it's also because we've had sequel after sequel, which is absolute dog shit.
That might be it too.
And if the people are like, well, Arnie's back. Yeah, we know. He was back. He was old in the last one.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
So, you know.
Yeah.
And maybe Linda Hamilton wasn't enough to kind of get people on board.
Maybe people remember Terminator 3.
Maybe they do.
That just the idea of remembering Terminator 3 is enough for a lot of people.
It's enough. I don't know, man. In all honesty, what do you think the story was?
Oh, no. It's a sequel to Terminator 2, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's after the events of Terminator 2. The Terminator team. They saved the world.
Yeah.
From being destroyed on August 29th, 1997.
Or do they?
And now it's the modern day.
Or is it?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did, and it is.
Mm.
How dare you question me? but maybe there's some other Terminators in store for everyone. You know what I mean?
Maybe there is.
And maybe there's some people coming back in time to stop the Terminator. You know what I mean?
So
maybe the Terminator's in this. Maybe Arnie's in it. Maybe Linda Hamilton's back.
Maybe she is.
She's on the poster.
What excited me about this the most was the return of Sarah Connor.
Yeah.
Properly.
Mm-hmm.
Though she is actually technically in Terminator Salvation. She does voiceover in that.
Oh, yeah, that's
movie.
Right. Uh-huh.
But so Linda Hamilton returns. She looks like, as I've said before, she's just been doing chin-ups and smoking cigarettes for the 30 years in between.
And she might have been.
Yeah, but I love the look of that character now. That, uh-huh. You know, she's not like Hollywood glamorized. And I don't mean this as an insult, but she just looks like a regular, like, 60-year-old-ish person. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Mm. And, you know, she spent like a year in training to get, like, to kind of get back into shape. And then they put a fake butt and boobs on her, apparently.
Did they?
Kind of like wow. fill her out a little uh-huh. bit. Yeah, but she said she didn't eat carbs for like a year. To get ready wow. for this role. So
dedication, okay.
She said it was a lot harder because, you know, you don't have any of your hormones or anything that you have, you know, when you're in your 30s or whatever. So when she did all the last right. one. So
you're a husk.
Chin-ups are harder.
You're a husk with a fake butt.
That's right. What kind of pants would you need to contain a fake butt, I wonder?
Hashtag husk with a fake butt. Hut with a fake butt. Jab at a hut with a fake
How's
butt.
How does that work for the butts? I don't know. Like they just secrete.
They probably just all over. Yeah.
Anyway, I think for the most part, she's really good mm-hmm. in returning. Do you disagree with that?
No, I agree with that.
She has some emotional stuff. She does some tough stuff.
Tough stuff.
She has to do some tough stuff.
Yes, yeah. correct.
She's still convincing as an action hero, despite not having done this for decades, presumably because she's rich and she's just like, why would I?
Yeah, I wondered about that as well. Yeah. Like, what lured her back, I wonder?
Money.
Was it the fake boobs and butt?
Maybe it was. Yoo-hoo! Somebody held them up, yeah. No, I don't know. I think she liked the story by all accounts, but also probably money. Mm. I'd imagine a lot of this $185 million went to her and Arnie.
I'd hope so.
I'd imagine. But I think she's effectively used, but also I think Arnie is better used in this one than he is in everything prior to this, obviously except for T1 and T2, which are also great.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of used sparingly in this. He's not like at the forefront of this movie.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
Would you disagree with that?
No, I think I agree with that.
Also, for the most part, he may as well just be the one from Terminator 2. Like, he's essentially it's 30 years later.
Yeah, what happened is we thought we put him in molten steel, but actually that was liquid candy.
Yeah.
And he came out the bottom. He swirled out the bottom.
Like a big poop.
Yeah, exactly. And then he's back. Maybe.
I mean, they do explain the return of that particular model and where he's from and why he is the way he is. And I'm happy with all of that. I thought it was a really interesting kind of twist on the mythos.
We should talk about that in spoilers, I think. But the origin of that particular Terminator, I think, is interesting. Mm. And I wonder how much of that you buy and how much of that I wonder the general public buys.
Yeah, well, that's a good question.
Or fans of the Terminator franchise will be like, I'm on board with this version of the character.
Because the thing about this story is as well, they take a bunch of established stuff and they throw it away.
Yes.
But I think for the most part it works, but I think narratively it's a bit all over the place in terms of like pacing and
I think a lot of this we'll be discussing in spoilers because I think again that we can't really talk about
relates to the time travel and and then that
which I think is remind me but I think that's quite clever in the manner of another movie that has done something similar in years past which we'll talk about
Back to the Future 2
exactly
excellent
well 3 I mean because he comes back in a big train
sure toot toot. It's me, the Terminator. I'm back.
Look at my big train driver hat.
So there's kind of a new Sarah Connor, as in like from the first Terminator in Danny.
Yes,
I thought she was okay for the most part. I didn't think she was as compelling as the original Sarah Connor. Mm-hmm. She does have some good moments, and there's some tragedy to that character, which befalls her because she's being chased by a Terminator.
Yes.
But there's, like, moments where, like, at the end, they're like, no, this is where we make our stand. We're going to do the final stand here. This is where we fight. And I'm thinking, this is a bad place. And you are clearly outmatched. I mean, spoiler alert, maybe everything works out all right in the end. But it's kind of like, that's not a good, like, leadership kind of call that you're making. Like, I understand that you've grown as a character, but this is tactically, this is a very poor decision.
All you need to do to become a leader is make big choices. And if they're bad, you blame someone else.
That's right.
That's delegating. That's what leadership's all about.
Yeah, but, she's fine for the most part, I should say. Uh-huh. What do you think?
I quite liked it, yeah.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Rev 9, the new Terminator?
Loved it.
Whoever that guy is, great.
Diego
Maradona.
Yes.
Soccer player.
What is his name? He's the Ghost Rider name.
Oh.
Hang on, what's his name?
Wait, is he the guy from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Correct.
Oh.
There you go.
Well, I didn't even recognize him. That's
Gabriel Luna. I get him confused with the guy from Rogue One.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I thought he was great. And I think the design of that Terminator is the best one since the T-1000. because they actually justify it having different abilities. Whereas like the Terminator 3 one, it's like this is a worse Terminator.
This kind of.
You know, it can be broken. This guy's like mostly indestructible. Yeah. And the splitting in two, it's pretty useful. It's very, I did find a bit of the CGI of him a bit bouncy and rubbery. There's a bit where he's in a factory at the start and you see him kind of leap up and scutter along.
And I think that maybe gets a little bit worse when he's separated into
his boogly form.
Yeah, boogly form and metal form. And I think boogly form, they're like, well, we've got some license here to make him a bit more rubbery.
Yeah.
And it doesn't entirely work. Mm. But I think, I mean, and he does. And I think maybe that's also a testament to the writing and directing that they are. What works best about the Terminators in this movie is they are, for the most part, silent killers.
Yes.
Again, like they were in Terminator 2.
Yeah.
It's just two silent monsters coming at each other.
He talks when he needs to talk.
Yes.
You know, he'll talk if he wants a bit of information, but that's it. He doesn't quip on one line. There is a moment at the end where he's after Danny at the very end and he stops and has a conversation. But the conversation, to me, it was framed as, this is just an easier way for me to get what I want.
Yeah, right.
Because there's a chance that I could lose this battle. So if I can talk my way through it, this is a more efficient way. Because, he's kind of like, you don't have to do this. And if you just give me the girl, I'll be out of your hair.
Sure.
But I thought that worked. I thought he really worked well. He had that kind of Robert Patrick kind of charm as well.
Yes, exactly. If you're sending somebody back in time to do some murders, and you need him to infiltrate, make him a little bit charming.
Yes.
You know?
There's some spoilers for that, for this movie that are in the trailer, including that he can split in two. I really wish that I didn't know that going in.
Yeah.
But I can understand why they used it as a selling point.
Again, that's Terminator 2 all over again.
But that being said, there's a bunch of massive stuff which they did not spoil in the marketing to their credit.
Yeah.
You know what I really like, though? I really like Grace
as Mackenzie Davis,
the Terminator human hybrid person.
Again, spoilers.
Spoilers. That's in the trailer.
It's in the trailer, right, yeah.
So she's basically an enhanced human who can go up against a Terminator for a brief window.
Yes.
But I thought she was great.
And
it felt very kind of Kyle Reese-ish.
Yes.
Where you're outmatched. You're mostly running. You can hold your ground for a little bit. Then it's like, we got to go because I'm not.
Yeah, right. I thought her interactions with Linda Hamilton were great.
Yes.
I think that's the best pairing in the...
Definitely.
Uh-huh.
I thought she was terrific. And I think she also looks the part, like physically. She looks like... There's a moment at the start in the steel mill where she's just bashing him with the sledgehammer. And it's terrific.
Yes, it is. That's true.
And she's really great. And I know there's some people who are like, well, this is a feminized bloody Terminator universe and whatever. And I guess it is because the three leads, except for Arnie, are female.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it worked really well. I thought, for the most part, yeah.
Yeah. Also, there's been a female lead in these since the first one.
That's true.
So
I think there's people who are like, well, look at her. She's got a boy's haircut. A lot of the comments of that in my YouTube are just like, but she's got short hair. Yeah, imagine a woman having short hair.
Well, if you don't like this one, just watch Terminator 2 again.
Yeah, that's right.
Just stay in your home and watch Terminator 2 again.
Also, she's from a future where there's a bunch of robot monsters running around. You'd probably keep your hair short or out of your face for the most part, I'd imagine.
No, you want to keep your hair long so somebody can strangle you with it. That's what you want.
Off the back of all that,
yes,
this is not Terminator 2.
No, although it does.
Quite a long
it
way.
Does.
No, it does do.
It attempts to copy the Terminator playbook. It's got. You know,
a freeway chase.
It's got a freeway chase.
A morphing one.
A robot.
Machine guns and helicopters.
Linda Hamilton.
Drones. That's new.
Yes.
Getting into the internet. That's new.
That's right.
Sort of. Mm-hmm. They did it in T3.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of.
What do you want? Like, what do people want?
If you
deviate too far from the formula, again, it's just another.
It's better than the movies. I don't know whether I like it more than the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Really?
I probably don't.
Okay.
Because I recently rewatched that. We did it for Caravan of Garbage. Uh-huh. And the action is solid. It's way less CGI than Genesis.
Yeah.
Remember that bit where Arnie bounces on the bridge and his head goes through the car window?
The factory fight especially, I think, is really, really good. It makes sense that it's, and that's something I guess we haven't seen before, is like this enhanced human who has sort of like a predictive, she has like a predictive AI system that enables her to sort of perceive what's coming up.
Yeah.
Like you see it quite early on. And so that it's a fight between too fast, powerful, just bloody robots,
sort of.
It's got
a human heart.
It's kind of like a game of chess, but
yeah,
punching people, you know,
and sledgehammers.
Sledgehammers.
Did you like the action scenes for the most part?
I think I did for the most part.
Look, again, I think it's. I mean, it does also set up stuff for the future, but way less so than Genesis, where it was like, well, now we've got to go on another adventure.
Mm.
This feels like, and by the sounds of the box office, it could very well be the last one of these.
Yeah.
This is, so if it is, that means we've completed our failed Terminator trilogy.
good.
Excited for that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Salvation.
Yep.
Genesis and this.
Sure.
Yeah. Because I guess Terminator 3 was technically in the first trilogy.
Yeah.
I guess technically. Yeah, should we do spoilers?
Let's do spoilers. I'm going to say best movie ever for this one.
I think it's pretty decent.
Yeah, I think it's worth a watch, definitely.
Yeah.
And big screen, worth a watch.
Big screen, worth a watch.
Anyway, spoilers.
Did you do any big screams in the movie?
I did not do a single big scream.
Okay, spoilers.
Anyway, what I was talking about earlier is that I think the clever thing they've done here is that they have, for people who are like, well, this is just, they're getting rid of all the old movies. I mean, well, I love Genesis. I love Salvation. It's a great war movie.
Is anyone saying that?
People like Salvation a lot.
Sucks.
Some people. Remember how Star Trek rebooted Star Trek, but they were like, but it's a parallel timeline.
Yeah.
All the other stuff is just shunted off into another reality. That's still canon, but it's just separate.
Yeah.
In this movie, all the other stuff is still technically.
Well, it happened because there's still remnants of it.
Yeah, it still happened.
Yeah.
But this is a sort of a parallel timeline in which Skynet was eliminated but was replaced with Legion.
Yes. And what I thought was really. So basically, it opens with the death of kid John Connor.
Yeah. Do you think they got Edward Furlong in for that?
I don't think so. They got his face.
Yeah, they should have.
Maybe they did get him in. I don't know. He's credited.
Yeah.
So, but that could just be because they used a digitized
version. That also is flawless. Like,
you know,
that.
But you know why it is?
Why's that?
Because nobody says anything.
Yeah,
because
right.
I was like mind boggled by how good that was.
I thought that initially I thought, well, maybe that's old footage from Terminator 2 that they cut out from the end. Because in the novelization and the comic book adaptation or whatever, there's a scene where Linda Hamilton wakes up. It's the future.
Yes.
It's a peaceable future.
There's a deleted scene of that, whether at the playground or whatever.
Yeah, right.
But this is, this is like a year after Judgment Day.
Uh-huh.
Mm. Yeah, it's like even the hair on Linda Hamilton and John Connor. And when the T-800 walks in.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd already perfected that, I feel, in Genesis. It's the same guy. They got the same guy.
Oh, right, okay, sure.
To be the body double, but when you put him behind sunglasses and he doesn't say anything, it's incredible. It looks so good.
Uh-huh.
But I was expecting John Connor to die. But I also think
admit it, you were hoping for John Connor
I was,
to die.
But I also feel like that John Connor, even in Terminator 2, he's not as interesting a character as Sarah Connor. I think they've tried to make him more interesting in subsequent movies, but he's never kind of fulfilled that potential.
Yeah,
but
right.
I think in killing him, it's not so much pushing him to the side. It's he's fulfilled his purpose. He did save the future.
Yep,
he is the savior of humanity. So maybe he doesn't have a purpose anymore. Yep. And I think that's also what's interesting.
And isn't that what all this whole movie's about?
That's what it's all about. But I think also that's interesting about Sarah Connor. You see almost a resentfulness when she talks about how she saves the future and nobody knows or cares.
Yeah.
You know,
even
so
the people from the future are like, no, the future's still ruined and we've never heard of you, so thanks.
That's right. Exactly. And I thought that was, and she kind of feels, I kind of felt that she felt like, what am I even doing for this kind of thing? What's my purpose?
Yeah.
You know, anymore. And she's bitter and resentful because she's lost everything. And for what?
Yes.
It just happens slightly differently.
That's true. Yeah. So the Terminator in this, Carl, so the Terminator that killed John Connor in the end, eventually, he has no purpose anymore, so he just leaves.
He looks like the fun in the sun model.
Yeah, right.
That he is. Just looks like he's just going to walk into the ocean.
Yeah. But maybe he does.
He probably does.
But and then he has no purpose, and rather than just sort of boarding himself up in a grave or something like that, he just sort of wanders around, and eventually he discovers purpose in this family that he can help somehow. Yeah. And then he decides to give Sarah Connor purpose.
Yes.
Because he can detect time travel energy as it's about to occur. Mm. And so he keeps texting her locations of other, I assume, Skynet Terminators that keep coming through?
I don't think they would be. I'm interested to know because she's wiped out a few Terminators prior to that.
Yeah.
I assume they're the early model Legion versions.
Yeah, right.
Because otherwise she wouldn't be able to, she couldn't kill a Rev 9.
One thing that did annoy me about that a little bit is I feel like there should have been more clues in the Terminators that we see, especially the future Terminators, that it is Legion and not Skynet.
Yeah, it's mostly...
I guess you could say, if you wanted to explain it, well, that's the optimum robot design for killing humans, and so an AI would build that automatically.
Yeah.
But I feel like there should have been a couple of clues in the one where we'd go, that's an interesting redesign. I wonder why they've done that.
Yeah, you're right. It's not that different.
Then we get the reveal and we go, oh, well, that makes sense because it's a different AI.
Yeah.
But what can you do? Anyway, so he's given her this purpose.
Make her own sequel.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to, aren't we?
It's got to get to us eventually.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
What were you going to say, though? Sorry.
I can't remember.
Skynet's gone, though.
Skynet is gone, though.
For the most part.
Yeah. Was Skynet Helena Bonham Carter for a minute?
Yeah, in Salvation. You didn't dream that. That happened, yeah.
Well, it's not Helena Bonham Carter anymore.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think it's...
This isn't your granddaddy's wife, if your granddaddy's Tim Burton.
So this new Judgment Day, the date, we don't get a date on it. Uh-huh. I've got a timeline video on it, an Easter egg.
But Grace comes from 2033,
yes,
which is several years after Skynet is defeated in the original timeline.
Yeah, was it 2043 or 23?
I think it was 2033.
Okay, cool.
But the original Skynet was defeated in 2029, yeah. I think.
I feel like also you could bring back the Arnold character by, you could maybe get the chip out of him.
Yeah, I wondered about that as well, but he was quite melty at the end. Yeah,
but I mean, it's still encased in his head. That would mean you'd have to get another T-800,
yeah,
I guess. And also Grace removes her power source, so maybe you could get her another power source potentially if you wanted to bring her back. Because I think it's a shame that they killed those two characters.
Yes.
Because I would have liked to have seen at least one of them continue on in a sequel that we're probably not going to get.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't know.
Look, I think that's a beautiful dream at this point. We're not going to get any more.
No, we're done. Well, we'll probably get a TV series, I'd imagine now.
Think so?
Yeah, probably.
What?
Yeah, I reckon. Because it's like, well, this is no longer a movie property. This is a TV property.
Oh, I see, right.
With things.
Yeah, eventually. Right. Which is what happened to the Terminator franchise. That's
exactly what happened to the Terminator franchise. So, yeah, and look, I think it's got some good ideas. It's just not great. Like, it was better than I wasn't expecting it to be as good as it was.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And I kind of want to see it again, but I'll wait. Like, I'm not going to go out and see it again. Uh-huh. Because there's some good ideas in this movie that I thought was going to be mostly shit.
You know what I liked? Mm. All the different operating systems.
Oh yeah,
I like that Arnold still had his old 1980s operating system, and Grace had a new fancy one.
Yeah, she had a fancy one. Did you see his? I don't think we did.
You do briefly, yeah.
Okay,
you went to the toilet.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, you went to the toilet.
Oh, why did I go to the toilet, Mason?
Because that's what you do now. Apparently, you don't prepare beforehand.
I really didn't because I was running late. So all in all, they made another one, didn't they?
They sure did.
And what's next for the Terminator? We don't know the box office, so we
don't
know.
Well, you think it's a TV show, so.
Yeah, eventually it's
animated
point.
Series? Animated series of animated movies. That's my pick.
Yeah, I'll take that. Well, that was a plan at one point as well.
Yeah. Mm. Here's my pick. I think the next thing they're going to do is at least one animated movie. They're going to maybe bring back Grace somehow.
Yeah, right. Do like a prequel in the future kind of thing?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Do you want to see the future war properly? I know we technically got it in.
Not really.
Yeah, dogs eating a fly out there.
Okay, nice. Yes.
I don't know.
Not really. I get it. I don't want to see people
sitting in the dirt.
Sitting in the dirt, starving. I'm not really interested in that.
Yeah, me neither. And I don't really care about the character of Danny as much as I do Sarah Connor or Grace or Terminator. The other Terminators.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
Terminators, Mason.
Yeah, Terminators, yeah.
They've done it.
Yeah.
All right, is that the end?
I think that's the end.
Not of the podcast, though, because it's...
We've got more to the podcast.
We've got what are we reading?
What we're reading, what we're going to read.
I'm doing a thing. What are we reading today? I love what are we reading, because we get to talk about what are we reading.
And what we're going to read.
Yeah, what are you reading?
Well, it's been like 2 days.
I know. I finished Deceased. For me,
oh,
that
yes,
just
how's
came
that going?
Out, yep. Issue 6. It's kind of a bit open-ended. I'm kind of annoyed that it didn't definitively like...
Oh, I see.
I'm like, well, we'll come back to this.
Well, did it end open-endedly so there is room for a sequel?
Seems to be, yeah.
Okay, right.
So I was kind of like...
How do you feel about that?
I mean, yeah, good, but I'm kind of like, well, I feel like there's another issue here. that I've missed.
Right, uh-huh.
But it's still good. Like it's a great, okay, it's a great right. comic.
Okay,
I'd still recommend it.
But you'd read a sequel though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
So it doesn't feel like there's not enough room for it. Doesn't feel like there's not enough material for a sequel, and they're just teasing out a sequel.
No, the way they set it up, where it's like, okay, I can see how they would take this in. I'd love to talk about it. I'd love to spoil it, but I'm like, for one, you haven't read it.
I'll read it this week.
Please do. Now you've got all six. But I also read Joker Killer Smile, the issue one by Jeff Lemire.
I love Jeff Lemire.
So basically, it's a world where the Joker is the Joker, but he's in Arkham Asylum for being the Joker.
Yep.
And nice. a psychologist, doctor speaking to him.
Oh, yeah, a brain doctor.
And he's
but
like,
not the cutty brain doctor.
No. Maybe it gets to that
point.
Thinky brain doctor. A words, you say words.
Yeah,
you say
nice,
words.
Yeah, yeah,
fix
nice. Yeah.
Person.
Like a psychiatrist.
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe. Right. I don't know if that's the word for it. But he wants to cure the Joker.
Ooh.
But who's jokering who, it turns out. So you see like some things in his life are like... is something happening to this guy by being around the Joker?
Oh, he's going to turn into the new Harley Quinn.
That's right.
Wow.
I mean, he's already got the shorts.
Nice.
From Suicide Squad, the movie.
I get it. Cool.
What would that look like?
Oh, my God.
But it's Jeff
Lemire. Okay, well, I like Jeff Lemire. I have been reading, I'm not quite up to date, but I have been, I think I mentioned last week, I have been reading, trying to catch up on Black Hammer.
Oh, yeah. I finished that.
There's that, and there's Age of Doom, which is the most recent one, and then there's a bunch of spin-offs, which I've got to get to, so... Mm. Yeah.
Sounds like you're having a grand old time.
I watched Dolomite Is My Name.
Oh, me too.
It's
I
good.
Talked about it in yeah. Suggestible.
It's good, right?
It's great.
It's why hasn't Eddie Murphy been doing this for years?
Because Norbert.
Oh yeah, he did Norbert.
And he's rich, and
I guess so.
Yeah.
So why is he back?
Because he's rich and he can do what he wants.
I guess.
Whatever
sure.
he does, it's because he's rich.
Yeah, that's probably true, yeah.
It's an excellent performance by him as well.
So it's the story of a guy called Rudy Ray Moore who
yep.
who I guess failed out of doing a bunch of other stuff like
yeah.
singing and doing
singing
comedy.
Singing and dancing, what the hell happened?
and then he learns all these sort of crazy street stories about a cool cat called Dolomite and decides to bring that to life as a character.
That's right.
And apparently Dolomite the movie is on Amazon Prime, so I might watch that this week.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, it got me interested, actually, because...
Yeah, the famous blaxploitation
character. Because I've seen clips of it, and there's a few clips at the end, and it just looks ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Uh-huh. But what I loved about... I talked about it in Suggestible, but I love the passion that he has for this dumb thing.
Yeah, right.
You know, but the heart clearly comes through in the work.
It's like an Ed Wood situation.
It's exactly
like
that.
It's a dumb thing.
I mean, probably better.
Oh, yeah, it seems better than... better than Ed Wood, yeah.
I think it's intentionally funnier than Ed Wood,
for sure.
It's supposed to be,
But, like, just the idea of, like, passion wins out over capitalism, I guess.
And you know who I thought was really good in this? Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, right.
I've never seen him do a role kind of like that, because he kind of plays this kind of pompous... kind of fancy kind of actor who's kind of it's all this stuff is below him.
Yes.
And just his mannerisms, the way he talks. Because he's normally like he's a gruff kind of tough guy.
Yeah, for sure.
I thought he was really good in this as well. It's on Netflix. Everyone's got Netflix. So
well, sure, yeah.
Watch Netflix.
Yeah. I mean, if you haven't cancelled Netflix to get HBO Max or whatever.
That's right.
When are we getting Disney Plus? Is that?
Mid-November for us.
Okay, cool,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Anything else?
I think that's the lot.
Then let's do the letters.
Okay, we want to watch Dolomite. Everybody watch Dolomite, let me know. Classic one was letters, oh letters, we love you, some letters, they're only a day away. I know they're here right now, we're going to do letters.
Oh my goodness, it's time for letters. I didn't have many, I've only got one tweet because I didn't put out the bloody call to bloody action, mate.
I understand.
But if you've got a letter, hashtag weeklyplanetpod on Twitter to send it our way, or weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com.
This one's from Cole Bruss.
Hi, Cole Bruss.
Says hello from a...
What was that, Mason? Did you drop a handful of coins?
Yeah, I dropped this delightful movement bracelet, which is here for some reason.
Oh, so good.
It's not mine, is it?
It's Claire's, yeah.
Okay, right. This is from Cole Brust. It says, hello from a fellow well-traveled person.
Mm.
Hey, James and Mason, I've been listening to this show since my junior year of college and haven't missed an episode since. Well, thank you.
Yes.
Of all the Planet Broadcasting shows, you all are for sure my favorite, but Jess, Dave and Matt are a close second.
You're goddamn right.
They're killing it over at Blocktober recently. They did an episode on the Black Dahlia murders recently.
Oh, right, yeah.
That's grim.
Yes, it is.
And there's no killer. Nobody knows who done it.
It's one of those situations.
Spoiler alert. Since I graduated from Baylor University, I've been volunteering with the US Peace Corps in Mozambique, Africa, where I teach high school English.
Hmm.
Wonder who else did that?
Nobody I know.
Okay,
why?
Cool. Was it you?
No, it was me. I did that.
Yeah, it was you. You did that. Yeah. Anyways, there aren't any theatres within hours of my site, so I haven't been able to see all the latest movies over the past months. Your podcast has been great for keeping me up to date with everything movie related. So thank you guys.
What country was that? Sorry,
Mozambique.
Different country than I was.
No, that's you were in Tanzania.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Yeah, you just kind of don't watch movies for a year.
Yeah,
or however long he's there.
He also wants to know what your dog's name is. Dog's name is Ollie.
Yeah, and she's banging at the door.
She's banging at the door right now. She's got a fly, and she wants to show us the fly.
Yeah, the movie.
She's got it on DVD, exactly.
That's right. She'll insist we'll watch the sequel, but I'm not really interested if I'm honest.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Mm. Son of Fly? I can't remember what it's called. Was it just Fly 2?
Lil Fly Jr.
To Fly.
To Fly.
To Flyrius. Flurious?
To, yep.
Don't bother.
Okay.
You know, we don't need to keep this going.
I was going to say. All I had loaded was to fluoride, and that doesn't even make any sense. Flies don't have teeth, to the best of my knowledge.
No, I don't think so. On Twitter, this is from Millennium Pigeon, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. For the next big threat in the MCU, would you like to see Doctor Doom put together a cabal-type team of supervillains that he recruits in the various post-credits scene? Who would you like to be on it? What do you think of that?
I mean, maybe. I think that my issue there, I guess, is that how has nobody... The thing about Doctor Doom is, what's he been doing for the last 10 years? You know what I mean? Where has he been?
It depends on his time. How old is he?
Yeah, right. You know? Is he just emerging now, I guess?
Is he from another dimension or whatever?
Is he from another dimension?
Or timeline?
I wonder. I would maybe hope for the Mandarin being that villain. Because he's going to appear in Shang-Chi.
Correct.
There were some plot reveals this week, I think, maybe?
Something like that. We spoke to somebody who got to do a tour of the studios, do you remember?
Right,
we can't name who, but this particular person said that they saw a lot of bamboo in the concept art.
Oh, yeah, that's
right.
That's
all they remember. Really.
Oh, yep.
So get ready for that.
Yeah.
Gear up.
Yeah. But I think it may be, so the rumors are swirling that suggest that the Shang-Chi in this case might be the son of the Mandarin. So
I'll take that.
Yeah, pretty good, right?
Great.
Pretty good, because it can't be Fu Manchu anymore.
No. I mean, we'll miss it because it's PC gone mad, and that's the kind of culture that we rally against.
Exactly.
But I guess.
What can you do?
What can you do?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Anything else?
This is from Seth Morland. For your podcast intro, it says,
okay.
Just use a recording where the word not is inserted before shooting up your butthole.
That's not a bad idea.
Then it will
no
longer be inappropriate, as nothing is going up anyone's butthole. Thank you, Seth.
But are they still putting the idea in the mind? You know what I mean?
No, absolutely not. Because it's not. Because it's not, exactly.
Actually, I do have a tweet here from Bernard related to the theme song. It says, change the theme song to the Defenders of the Earth theme song.
Defenders of the Earth. Defenders. Out of the sky.
I bloody got you.
Got him, everyone. Jets into
battle, like faster than light.
Flash Gordon.
Lord of the jungle, the hero who stalks. The beasts call him brother, the ghost to war.
Phantom.
Defenders of the Earth.
You can't hear that, Mason, but no. I can hear it.
I was trying to find a point to go Lothar, but I couldn't
I've
hear
shortened
it.
So.
Oh, I see, right. You've done an edited version there. Okay, right.
Anyways, that's the show though, isn't it? Sorry it's a bit shorter, but that's life. Get over it.
Oh, speaking of, here's an email from Nick Short.
Okay.
Hello there, Nick and Mason.
Yes.
I live in Bendigo and I have reason to believe that the people in Castlemaine are sheepshaggers.
I knew it.
Yeah.
I got family up there. I'm going to ring my uncle. I'll see what's going on.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if in 10 years it's revealed that there has been some sort of Midsummer-esque cult thing going on there for decades. Wouldn't surprise me either.
You see Midsummer?
Then there's a lot of paragraph breaks, and he's written probably Kyneton too.
Kyneton. I know Kyneton. Oh, I love these specific references.
Oh my God, so specific.
Kyneton.
So specific and local.
What a world.
Oh my goodness.
Anyways, bring us home, Mason.
Thank you everybody so much for listening.
Yeah.
Thank you everybody for donating to our charity drive. We're up to $59,000. Imagine if we cracked 60 by the end of the week.
Can't even imagine that.
I can't imagine it either, but imagine if we could. But
imagine.
We can't. We can't though. That's how
what
it works.
Yeah.
Thank you everybody for telling a friend and subscribing and leaving a nice review. James, do you have a nice review?
No, I do. This is from Vortex960. It says, fine, I'll write a review. 5 stars. This is the only thing I've ever reviewed. I'm a genuine fan, great content, great back and forth. I highly recommend this to multiple friends. Now that I've gotten through the pleasantries, time for my for my showdown, all movie versions of Ultron versus Megatron. I can't. Ultron would get in there. He'd incept them in their mind and take them over.
Probably incept their minds, wouldn't he?
I've done it.
Nice.
Was that what you were after? Was that worth the review? Did he think? Do you think?
I think so.
Great, excellent.
That's right. He wants your expert opinion, and
he really
got it.
Snuck that in. I copied that in and went, oh, this is a nice one. I'm like, oh, he snuck in a thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Well played.
Good for him.
Yeah.
If you want to contact us and ask us about assorted showdowns, you can go to weeklyplanetpod at Gmail, at Facebook, at Bandcamp, at Twitter. I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter. And on Instagram, I'm at Nick Maso, NickMaseau. You are Mr. Sunday Movies everywhere.
All platforms, all day.
You can go to planetbroadcasting.com to sign up to our newsletter from the great Rob Collings.
Yeah.
He's the Weekly Planet on Twitter. You can go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group for fun civil discussions on all things pop culture and podcasting.
And pants.
If you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies if you'd like to chuck in a buck. We would certainly appreciate it. You can also go to the Amazon affiliate link on our episode description.
Yeah.
If you want to buy something off there, maybe some sort of a box set shaped like Linda Hamilton's head.
That's right.
Great mom hair on it.
Oh, so good.
Oh my God, it's realistic mom hair.
Some of the best hair I've seen.
Set. We've got some t-shirts on tpublic.com. We have thank yous.
We have so many.
But one of our thank yous is to the Brute and the Basilisk and Rack and Prawl, our musical
themes.
Yes,
yes, yes.
And that's the show, I think.
That's the show. Next week, we don't know. Because it's like a week and a half away.
Oh, it is too.
Us. Yeah, so we'll see how that
goes. If you have any suggestions, get at us on those various social medias.
And thank you to the Patreon people because they would have got this much, much earlier, hopefully.
Oh, good for them.
Because I would have uploaded it. Yeah. Early days, which I try to do if I can. All right, thanks, guys.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.